Good morning, good morning. Welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I'm your teacher and host, Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. We're on day 251. I've got a nice, beautiful mug of delicious coffee. And we are ready to dig into Deuteronomy chapter 8 today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word, which gives us life. Thank you for waking us up, giving us another day of life, giving us time to spend together in your word. We pray that you would write your word on our hearts and that we might glorify you for the time that we spend together with you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. Deuteronomy chapter 8. The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his law or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs, flowing out of the valleys and the hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Take care, lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions, and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do you good in the end. Beware, lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is this day. And if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish. Like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so you shall perish, because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Now, language such as we find in Deuteronomy 8, especially in the opening verse, has led many people to conclude that the Mosaic covenant is not actually part of the covenant of grace. It is not a gracious covenant. Some people have said it's a republication of the covenant of works that God made with Adam in the garden. Do this and you will live. Don't do it and you will die. That kind of thing. Or they've said that it was an administrative covenant and not a gracious covenant. But we need to be careful to understand what God is saying here, and we need to always remember the context. The covenant of Moses, the Mosaic covenant, is a very gracious covenant because God founds it on his sovereign love for his people. I've scrolled up to Deuteronomy 7, which we looked at yesterday, "For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession out of all the people who are on the face of the earth. It was not because you were more in number than the other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all peoples, but it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers, that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." So Deuteronomy 7, verses 6 through 8 tell us that God graciously chose and redeemed Israel because of his love for them, which means that the Mosaic covenant is a covenant of grace. But as a covenant of grace, it also has obligations for the people of God, and there are consequences to not keeping those covenant obligations. Even in the New Covenant, which is a more full revealing of the covenant of grace, we have covenant obligations. We have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, not neglect the gathering of ourselves together to worship him, love God and love one another, be united and walk in a way that is in keeping with the gospel of grace, in humility and love and gentleness toward one another. God works his salvation in us, and we're called to work it out with fear and trembling. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you. We're told that our God is a consuming fire. We must worship him with reverence and awe. We're told in the view of God's mercies that we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Jesus calls us and says, "Take up your cross daily and follow me." There are covenant obligations in the new covenant. We are supposed to actively trust and obey. We are supposed to do that. And when we don't do that, we do suffer consequences. When we fail to trust the Lord, when we fail to obey the Lord, if we are hard-hearted and rebellious against the Lord, we suffer real consequences. God disciplines us. He chastises us. That's exactly what we're told here. I mean, Deuteronomy 8:5 says, "Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord disciplines you." You'll find the exact same language in Hebrews chapter 12 in the New Covenant age. There is fatherly chastisement. There are consequences. There is judgment. The New Testament says it's time for judgment to begin with the house of God. There are things that if you do them, you're going to be put out and put out for a time so that you may come to repentance and be reconciled back in. But there is obligation. So sometimes people think, well, it's either grace or it's obedience. Yes, it's either one or the other as the foundation of our salvation and the cause of our salvation. We are saved by God's grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That's how we are saved. However, we are not saved. Grace is not without effect in our lives. It's not without fruit in our lives. We're not saved by a faith that remains alone. Though we are saved by faith alone, we are not saved by a bare, naked, alone faith. In other words, I just trust and I don't do anything else. Faith that is saving faith works. That's what James says in James chapter 2. Really what Paul says in Galatians 5. He says, urges us to keep in step with the Spirit that we might bear the fruit of the Spirit. So don't let the idea that there are covenant obligations trip you up and make you think this isn't really a covenant of grace, this isn't really a gracious covenant, because what you're going to do by extension of that is you're going to say, well, this is Old Testament language, this is the covenant of works, we're under the covenant of grace, New Testament language, and therefore we don't have any covenant obligations because Jesus has done it all. And yes and amen, Jesus has done it all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe, sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. But you know, God's people who truly believed in the Old Testament, they received that same grace of salvation. God chose his people because he loved them. He gave them pictures of the gospel in the ceremonial law, which we saw when we were going through Exodus and Leviticus. And if they would believe him, if they would trust him, then they would receive from him this justification by grace alone, through faith alone, in the Christ who was yet to come. Because there's no other way to have salvation. That's Hebrews 11 kind of lays that whole thing out. The Hall of Fame of Faith in Hebrews 11 lays out that it was always by faith. And faith always comes from God's grace. And so that's never changed. But that doesn't mean that we don't have covenant obligations. And what he warns the people of Israel against here in Deuteronomy 8, we are subject to the same thing. We are subject to forgetting God once we are rich, fat, and happy. Like, I'm blessed, I've got good things, I'm not in conflict and turmoil, I can sit back and relax and enjoy my good life, and who cares about the Lord? I'd rather go on a vacation, out on a yacht, than go to church. I'd rather, you know, spend extra money on my golf game than give it to missions. I'd rather, you know, just whatever. We make all sorts of excuses for forgetting the Lord. We forget the Lord. We forget our covenant obligations. We forget the people of God. We forget gathering with the people of God. We forget the kingdom priority that our giving should reflect, because we are so complacent. And guess what? That has consequences. Why is it that 99% of Christian giving in American churches is spent on the Christian churches in America, and only 1% is spent on overseas missions? And of that 1% that's spent on overseas missions, only about 1 or 2% is spent on reaching unreached people groups, advancing the gospel. So if we're given the Great Commission to advance the gospel in the world, why is it that we spend almost all of our money on that which makes our church life more comfortable and more entertaining and more, you know, we're pleasing ourselves, even within the church, rather than investing in a very strong way in the mission of God in the world? We forget God. And so we need to beware, because we too, verse 17, are prone to saying, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth, right? But oh, how different Jesus was. Oh yes, Jesus was so different. Jesus was in the wilderness of Judah, and he was led there by the Spirit. And he went for 40 days without food. He was hungry. And Jesus fulfilled Deuteronomy 8:3 before he quoted it to the devil in the first temptation he faced in the desert wilderness. He had been hungry for 40 days without food. And when Satan comes and says to him, turn this stone into a loaf of bread, he says, it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. That is the truth, that Jesus himself lived perfectly, and that we are called to live in him. We didn't give ourselves anything. We didn't do these things for ourselves. We didn't accomplish these things for ourselves. And we need to realize these things, these earthly things, are not our life. They are blessings from God given to us in our life, but they are not themselves our life. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us and for blessing us and keeping us. Father, continue to feed us with the bread of life, even the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who is the word that proceeds from you and who is the bread of life. May our souls be satisfied with him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you for joining me for day 251. Tomorrow, day 252 is going to take us back to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 3 will be on tap tomorrow morning. Hope you can join us then. Have a blessed day in the Lord.